Nice.
I was going to ask if you would say something about what I've been reading some of your books and I would like to become your disciple. And could you say what you require of your disciples or what makes you happy in your disciples?
What makes me happy? If you become a conscious child of God, then it makes me the happiest person on earth. No matter which path or whose path you follow, but if you follow a path, specific path under the guidance of an able teacher, spiritual teacher, then I become the happiest person. It is not that if somebody follows my path, I will be the happiest person, far from it. I will be the happiest person if the person is sincere and making the fastest progress by following some specific path, then I will be the happiest person. When you reach the goal, your destined goal, I become the happiest person. It is quite immaterial whether you are in my boat or somebody else's boat. No. Just day before yesterday, unfortunately, I could not accept quite a few for our path. And I repeatedly told them, when I cannot accept someone for our path, that does not mean that that person is insincere or unaspiring. No, far from it. That person is sincere, is aspiring, and has many divine qualities. But I have to be very frank with the soul, with that person. I wish that particular seeker ran the fastest, knowing perfectly well that if somebody follows another path that will lead him to his destined goal sooner than my path, how can I prevent him? I must not. So, very often I am mistaken. People think that I am very selective, I am very fussy. No, I used to say I listen to the dictates of my inner pilot, the Supreme, who is my guru, your guru, everybody's guru. My eternal father, your eternal father will be the happiest person when he sees that somebody has done the right thing and has reached him sooner than otherwise. About half an hour ago you asked me a question about the requirements of our path. I think you asked me that question. So I used to say a few things about our path. Yesterday at our San Francisco Center, I spoke elaborately on our path, and it is necessary for the seekers, for the disciples, for the followers of our path to know, if it is possible from the master, the actual requirements on our path. Now, our path is the path of simplicity, to start with. Complexity cannot be found in our path. God is extremely simple. It is we who think of him as someone complex, complicated. God speaks the simplest language. We don't understand him. No, we are all deaf. Poor God, he has been talking to us constantly, tirelessly, and we do not have the time to listen to him. And we turn a deaf ear to poor God, and this we have been doing God knows for how many centuries and millennia. So our path is the path of simplicity, and here we feel one who has love can be simple, one who has devotion can be simple, one where surrender can be simple. A child is simple. He loves his mother enough. He does not have to love anybody else. His mother is this whole world. Then devotion. He listens to his mother. He devotes himself to his mother. If his mother asks him to do him a favor, he does it. Then he surrenders to his mother. He feels that his mother knows everything far better than he does. Then he surrenders to his mother. He carries on for his mother's will. See, a child is so simple that he does everything to please the mother. And here in his simplicity, he is reaching the highest goal. Now, love, devotion and surrender. Even in the ordinary world, we know if someone loves someone, then he spends most of his time with that particular person. That is to say, he devotes his precious time to that person. Then, if it is real love, I am not using the word divine love, but let us call love, then he surrenders to his or to her whimsical thoughts, even knowing perfectly well that what the other party says is absurd, but surrenders. Why? Because they have now formed their bond, inner bond or outer bond, on the strength of love. So here is also love. The strength of love, we see that if one loves someone, then one is ready to sacrifice one's precious, momentous wisdom. But in the spiritual life, it is totally different. In the spiritual life, at every moment we come to realize that divine love never binds us. On the contrary, it expands us, liberates us. Then when we see and feel that we are being liberated, we feel inwardly a divine obligation, not human obligation, that we have to do something for our inner pilot. He who has given us everything, who has brought to us the message of love, compassion, blessing, how can he remain aloof? Will it be possible for us not to offer him anything in return? In this world, if we live in the soul, we try to give, give, give. But if we live in the physical, we only try to receive and receive and receive. This is the difference. If we live in the soul, give, give, give. All that you have, all that we are. But if you remain in the physical, only try to grab, possess everything that belongs to others. Even then we are not satisfied. Then you go to somebody else to grab, to possess his things. So, divine love means self-giving. Then devotion comes into the picture. We feel that just giving something, offering something is not enough. It has to be done with inner thrill, enthusiasm, intensity, with an intense inner fervor, inner urge. If I give something, it is not like giving alms to someone. I am very poor, you are giving me $5 bill, then you have played your role. No. While you are giving, you have to feel that you are giving to the divine within me, to the supreme within me, who now needs this help from me. So when we offer love to someone, we feel that that time the person needs it. And we do it gladly and soulfully. But while giving, we must not have the feeling that we are doing him a great favor, we are in a position to help him, we are superior. No. On the contrary, you have to feel that God has given us the great opportunity to be of service to him. We should be grateful to the person whom we are in a position to help or serve the Supreme in him. It is he who has given us the capacity to show that we are honored to be of service to him. So here, devotion is our dedicated service. Then comes surrender. this surrender is not the surrender of a slave to the master. He is all the time listening to the master, obeying the master under some pressure. He feels that at any moment the master will be displeased with him and will dispense with his job. Then he is totally lost. Here, our relationship with the master, with the supreme, is not of that type. Here we feel glorified that we have become his instrument, that he has chosen us as instruments. He could have chosen others. He has employed us. And the very fact that he has employed us, we have to show him constant gratitude. He won't force us. The master, ordinary master, when he deals with the slave, he will fire him, he will find faults with him. And he is always perfect. But in the case of the Supreme, it is not like that. When he deals with us, we are all imperfect. He feels that it is his imperfection. In a human case, in a human being, the master feels he is perfect, his slaves are all imperfect. But in God's case, when he accepts us consciously, you know, when we accept him, not he always, he has already accepted us. When we accept him as our master and he accepts us as his chosen instrument, and when he finds mistakes in our nature, he feels that these are all his mistakes. And unless and until we are perfect, God never feels that he is perfect. Our conception of God is perfect, God is everything, that is true. But God is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, true. But when it is a matter of perfection manifested on earth, God feels that he is still imperfect on earth. People will say that, oh, I am an atheist. How do I dare to say that God is imperfect? I will say hundreds of times, God is imperfect in me, in you, in everybody. As long as the world remains imperfect, how can God be perfect? He has everything. The message of perfect perfection has not yet dawned. We all represent God. Even an animal represents God, tiger, lion, and the other. When it is a matter of perfection, we have to feel that perfection has not yet gone. But perfection also, it is a relative term. What I call perfection, you may not call it perfection at all. A child's perfection is to play in the clay, mud, and play and eat sand. That is his perfection. But my perfection is a different matter. I won't eat sand or mud or anything. I will try to drink nectar. Then I will feel that I am perfect, like it. So, to come back to our path, we have to be very simple, like a child. And our path is the love, devotion and surrender. We surrender to God wholeheartedly, knowing perfectly well what we have is next to nothing, what we are is nothing. But if we can give our nothingness to him, it is not a matter of knowing or feeling. What we have to know is this nothingness is what we right now are. We have to feel that this nothingness, the message of nothingness, we have discovered. And when you can give this nothingness, we become chosen instruments of the Supreme. There are a few other requirements in our path, outer requirements. Now, about that I have spoken many, many times. Regularity is of paramount importance. Fee we need, and our fee is aspiration. Our fee is regularity. If we are not regular, we will not be able to reach the destined goal at a choice hour. Regularity, I always tell, is measured yardstick. 1 meter, 2 meters, 3 meters, then you reach the goal. If you have to cover a goal, and that goal requires 20 steps from the place where you stand, then you have to go regularly 1, 2, 3, 4, and then reach your destination. Regularity is this. And in the ordinary human life, if you know that the destination is only 20 steps and you have come, you have already covered 2 steps, only 18 remain, you stay there. Then after 10 days you can cover one more step, you place your third step, and then you can station yourself on the third step. But in the spiritual life it is not like that. I have to be very frank with you. If you meditate for 6 months regularly and then stop meditating for a day or two or even for 4 or 5 days, you cannot stay there. The very nature, lower nature, pulls you back. If you don't meditate for a month or so after you have meditated for 6 months, and if you think that no, since I have meditated for 6 months so well, now I will be able to stay at this place fixed for a few months and then let me take rest, again I shall start my journey. I used to say no. While you are enjoying vacation, spiritual vacation, you will come back to the starting point practically. Once you have realized the highest truth, at that time you are in the goal itself. At that time you don't have to come back to your starting point. Now, regularity and aspiration we need. Our path, aspiration, there is nothing that can equal aspiration in the spiritual life. With aspiration we start, with aspiration we continue, and with aspiration we do not end, but with aspiration we transcend our goal. Today's goal will be tomorrow's starting point. Today what you feel is the goal. At the moment you have reached it, on the strength of our aspiration, you will feel that that is just the starting point. There is no end to our success, to our progress. Let us use the term progress and not success. Success is a very bad word. It is a complicated word. Success, immediately failure comes. There, if you are successful, we are very happy, bloated with joy and pride. If you have failed in something, we are doomed to disappointment, everything. Success and failure, they are one thing. Like obverse and the reverse of the coin, you place it at the feet of the Supreme. So let us use the term progress here. There is no end to our progress. There is no end to God's progress. We have a fixed idea that God has made all progress. No, He has the infinite. He is the infinite. But there is no end of the infinite. Just because He is the infinite, He is constantly transcending His own infinity. That should be. We use the term the beyond. Beyond is the goal. But no. Today, what we call beyond, tomorrow it is the starting point. That's why we say that the ever transcending beyond. This is the correct term. The ever transcending beyond should be our goal. God is constantly transcending His own infinite. So in our path, we always feel there is no fixed goal. Fixed goal is for today. Tomorrow there will be some other goal, higher goal. For a child, kindergarten, one who has not studied, that is his destination goal. But when he completes that study, he has to come to the primary school. And primary school becomes his goal. Gradually, high school, and each time he is going on beyond. But in the ordinary human life, when he gets his master's degree, it is all over. Because that human, ordinary knowledge, outer knowledge, is limited. But the inner knowledge is unlimited. Even to get the master's degree or PhD takes 20, 22 years. But it is limited knowledge. But unlimited knowledge we want to have, unlimited wisdom. And for that, we have to spend very long time. Now, in our path, we never claim that our path is by far the best. No. Ours is only a path, not the path. If we say that ours is by far the best, then we are only fooling ourselves. We cannot say that. We will simply say that our path is like a shop. We have a shop, somebody else has a shop, and the customers, let the customers come and see that this is this path. From here, if we find something suitable, a fruit, then let him buy it. This is one way of seeing the truth, that we follow. We have a shop of our own. It is for the customers to decide. From our shop, he will take one. Then, at times, people misunderstand me. But I go from one place to another, and they say, collect disciples. And I tell them, if there are some masters who say, that the pond does not move, only the person who is thirsty, he comes to the pond. If you are thirsty, you come to the pond. The pond does not go to the thirsty person. My approach is different. I say no. He who is a seeker is a child, an infant. And he who has food or in a position to offer food is the mother. Definitely. A child will cry. When the child cries in the living room, if the mother is somewhere else, in any other room, mother comes running to feed the child. So a seeker is a child, a baby, an infant. We cannot. The mother has to feel that it is her bounden duty when the child cries to offer milk, food to the child. That's why I go from place to place.
You mentioned regularity, but you didn't state anything very specific about, what the people should, what you would like the people to do every day or...
Yes, every day is right. Regularity, when I meant regularity, twice a week. This center has twice a week.
Meditation.
Twice a week, you have to come regularly. This is requirement. And then all in the morning and in the evening, if you cannot meditate more than two times, what can you do? But twice. In the morning you meditate. Morning meditation, the moment you get up, that is the best time for meditation. If you get up 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, but if you get up at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock and start meditating, then you have to feel that you are meditating against the current. Against current. Because the sun is up, you are meditating in the hustle and bustle of life. Activities. The world is roaring in front of you, a roaring lion. How can you meditate in front of a roaring lion? Well, in the morning, 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, if you get up and meditate, at that time the earth here, it is calm and quiet and silent. So you can meditate. You can do the best. And in the evening, when again it is calm and quiet, if you meditate, that is the best hour. Regularity at home, every day in the morning, you cannot live on yesterday's food. Yesterday you ate. That's why you are strong. Today, you have to eat again. Just because you ate yesterday, if you say it is enough, no. You ate yesterday, today also you are eating. Because you need it. The spiritual life also, everything you have to do, eat. Eating is here, you are feeding the soul every day. You feed the body three times a day. Why can't you feed the soul at least once a day? Yes. It depends on the individual. If you have the capacity to meditate for say an hour, meditate. But if you do not have the capacity to meditate just for the sake of hour, you will meditate for 2 hours or 3 hours, that will be foolishness. 15 minutes during your meditation, if you feel that you are getting joy, inner satisfaction, and your mind is calm and quiet, then your meditation is perfect. But during the meditation, if you have to think of your friends, relatives, or your acquaintances, then that meditation is no meditation. It is just wasting time. Then meditation is like the development of the muscle, inner muscle. When you take exercise daily, you strengthen your muscles. So if you meditate daily, soulfully, you know, there comes a time you make progress. As the muscle is developed by taking exercise, so meditation itself is an inner exercise. So you increase the power of your meditation. Suppose you have been meditating for 6 months, I assure you will be able to meditate for 15 minutes, whereas someone who has just started today, he cannot meditate even for 1 minute. So it depends on the individual how far he has made progress already in the inner world, how developed he is. If he is in a position to meditate for 2 hours, naturally he will meditate. Otherwise, he will sit for 2 hours and think of everything in the world, then that is no meditation. When the mind becomes restless, the time is up, you get up. That is enough. The hour is gone. Not how many hours you meditate, how you meditate. That's it. If you can meditate soulfully, 15 minutes, that is more than enough, than to meditate for 3 hours without life in it. When you meditate, if you feel life, there's life in it, then that is meditation. Otherwise, it is as good as sleeping, as good as death.